Let's go to Amos chapter number 8 and verse number chapter number 8 and verse number 11 and 12, and also read 13 tonight. Amos chapter number 8, verse number 11, 12 and 13. This is the trumpet blow. This is the announcement. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. This is the announcement I had been making about the prophecy of the famine of the word of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, north to east, but they cannot find it. But let's also read verse 13. The famine will not affect everyone. That is what the Bible says. Verse 13 says, in that day the fair virgins and strong men shall faint from thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. So it shall affect specific kind of people who are into the life of sin, who are so strong in the flesh, strong young men, fair virgins. The expression the Bible uses here is also used in Isaiah, where it says the young men shall faint, but those who wait upon the Lord, they shall soar on wings like eagle. So young men, it refers to those who are mighty in the flesh, those who think they are good in the flesh, young in the flesh. They don't depend on the word of the Lord. They shall faint. But those who depend on the Lord, those who are the storehouse of the Lord, that famine will be a reason for them, will be a season for them to rise. Hallelujah. So that is the announcement I wanted to make. So we are coming back to the word. We are on the series called Walking as Jesus Walked. And then we saw the steps to walk as Jesus walked. I covered the first step. Second step was death to self and cross bearing. I have covered cross bearing. Bearing the cross, I have covered a lot in death to self. So we are still on death to self. Death to self is death in three areas. Denial, Jesus said in Mark chapter number 9 verse 23 that whoever wants to follow me, let him deny himself, carry his cross daily and follow me. Hallelujah. So denial to self is death to self, and what it means is death in three areas is complete death to self. So the three areas are the old man, the old mind, and selfish ways. I have covered the old man. I was on the old mind. All right, are we together? The old mind consists of other the old mind consists of many categories to consider. What the completeness of what is the old mind? The first category I took is attachments and likings. The old mind consists of attachments and likings to the old food, old lifestyle, old people, job, location, conveniences, etc. Those attachments and likings of dwelling on the old things and attachment to the old things affects or does not allows you to journey with God. And then we saw the characteristics of those people who hold on to their likings and attachment to the old things, to the old mind. And we saw how they are not able to journey with God. Any which ways, we will not go into those things. And we also saw that the old mind is the killer of faith. It makes you see what the devil wants to show you, so on and so forth. But we are on the second ingredient of the old mind, or let's say the second compartment of the old mind. The second compartment of the old mind consists of thought patterns, ideologies, doctrines, iniquity. Hallelujah. So thought patterns, ideologies, doctrines, and iniquity is the second compartment of this, of the old mind. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 9 to 23 talks about Simon the sorcerer who was baptized and who became a believer. And he joined Philip and the apostles in the mission work. And he saw the miracles. He saw people receiving the Holy Spirit. He saw all those things. But Simon was a sorcerer previously before coming to Christ. And he was not a common man there in Samaria. He was well known by the people because he amazed the people with his sorcery, with magic. Okay? So he was well known. But even after coming to Christ, when he saw people following the apostles, the evangelist Philip, he saw the fame, he saw the following. When he came to Christ, he said, I was famous. Now, even after coming to Christ, again I want to be famous. Again, I want to have that following. That is a thought pattern of the old mind. Okay? We are on thought patterns, ideologies, doctrines, and iniquity. The second compartment of the old mind. Are we understanding? So, the day you accepted Jesus Christ, believers, listen to me. You have to consider that day as a complete change of your lifestyle. As a complete change of your lifestyle. You can no longer, after coming to Christ, you have to crucify the things you were, the person you were, the status symbol you carried, the following you had, the money you had. You have to completely crucify that old mind before, after coming to Christ. But we see Simon the sorcerer wanted to have the same following, same getting famous like he was. So, and in doing that, he did the second thing, the second point I told you, that he gave money to the apostle. He gave money to the apostles, offered them money to get the power of laying on of the hands and people receiving the Holy Spirit. But Peter rebuked him. So the second thing is, he wanted to, whatever things he did in sorcery, because in sorcery, you exchange power by giving and taking of money. You exchange power, you give power, you give impartation, you give breakthroughs by money. The money mammon plays a major role in sorcery. So what, after coming to Christ, the second ideology, thought pattern that he did not got rid of is sorcery. So I came to Christ, but I want to practice the same things in Christianity that I practiced in sorcery. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. I was seeing a certain video, and it was so disturbing. I think in the U.S. It's in the U.S. A man completely having piercing on all his nose and lips and whatnot, on ears, on eyes, and his face, his neck, his body is full of tattoos. And then he puts a clown's, what you call, that red color ball on his nose and a clown's hat. And he ministers, he preaches, he lays hands on people and prays. Have you seen that guy? Anyone here? Okay, no one? So he's in the US. So he's a I don't know, pastor or evangelist, something he is. And hallelujah. People of God, you are there, say amen. If you're there tonight, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So this guy I saw completely tattooed and so many piercing. When I look at his face, I myself feel the pain. There are so many piercings on his mom. on his face, and he wears a clown's nose and a clown's hat and a clown's attire, a clown's dress, and he ministers. And people, wow, this man who was completely not in Christ, he was a drug addict, he was this, now he's in Christ and now he became a minister of the gospel. But he does not get rid of all those things, nothing. He is the same person. So it's like before I came to Christ, even after I came to Christ, I will wear the same things, I will do the same things, I will apply the same things in Christianity. That is how Christianity got corrupted, because many sorcerers became pastors, turned into pastors, because sorcerer like there came a time where Christianity was on the hype, like in Samaria. Once upon a time, Simon the sorcerer was amazing people, but when the apostles came, people accepted Christ and the trend changed. So Simon the sorcerer now wanted to become a pastor. And he wanted to, in sorcery, how he had the following and the fame, he wanted to have the same thing as a pastor. He wanted to have the same power as an apostle, and so on and so forth. But these apostles were very discerning. They were not like, you want the anointing? Take my coat and fall down and all those stuff. Peter discerned that he was bound by iniquity. He was bound by a pattern. He was bound by the old mind. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Whatever you were before coming to Christ, you have to dump those ways you practiced. Those ways, those ideologies will not apply in Christianity. Do we understand that? When you come to Christ, you have to start from the Sunday school and then grow in the grades. Grow in the grades. You have to be trained completely new by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord Himself, His ways, and that will take time. That is going to take time. Even as you submit to His learning, even as you meditate on the Word of God will expose the evil, expose the old mind, and day by day you crucify the ideologies and the thought patterns of your old mind, and you receive the newness of God. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that do not, behold, I do a new thing. Do not remember the former things. Get rid of old things. It says in Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has gone away. Everything has been made new. So we got to get rid of the old ideas. Once we were, I was with my pastor many years ago, and we went attended a conference, evangelism conference, and then there was a person that joined us, an old pastor of the same organization. And he said, let's go for coffee, let's go for this and that. Okay, we went, and I was sitting quietly listening to this pastor, and then he was talking about how to evangelize. And then everything that he spoke about, 0% was from the Holy Spirit, and 100% was from the flesh. He was talking about how to win souls. He was talking about how to win souls, and even how to win souls, and through winning souls, how to make a business and earn money from that. That was his agenda. And this pastor spoke. We were in the coffee shop, and he was talking to my pastor, explaining us this and that. And he was saying, he was saying, first of all, approach a Hollywood actor who can say that I know Jesus, I believe in Jesus. Go and approach a Hollywood actor and offer that actor some money to come to the event. That is the first thing he said. Second thing he said, once the actor agrees and you with the money offered and all those stuff, you go to a organization which has a big hall or a big ground and tell them that and go to companies and say that we are hosting an event and this actor is coming in the event. So you get your advertisement in the event and tell the person who owns the place, this actor is coming. If we are going to advertise, companies are coming, so give us the ground for free and all those things, and then take the money from there, take and bring the actor, and along with the actor bring a famous band who can play good music, Christian band, good songs, Christian songs, bring the band, and then and all take money from your, give money that this that this that this that not, nothing, no word about prayer, No a word about seeking the Lord. And he said, if the actor comes, souls will come to see the actor. And then you can talk about Jesus there. And then you also earn from the event. You also this and that. It can be sounding okay. You will say, what is wrong in that, brother? But God's business does not work like that, I am telling you. That pastor was disqualified from the organization. That pastor, no one knows where he went, because he did a lot of manipulative transactions of money and all immorality and all those stuff. That pastor is completely out now. He's out. No one knows where he is. He's in the hiding. Why he was doing that? Because some people, when they become pastors, before becoming pastors, they were in business. And whatever they did in the business, they think we are creative. We have the ideas. We have this. And the same things we will take from here and now apply in the kingdom of God. That is the old mind, beloved. That is the old mind. Do we understand that? What is the second compartment of the old mind? It's the thought patterns. It's the ideologies. The thought patterns, the ideologies. You cannot just go and do a big thing, the big crusade. You did not even hear from God anything. Seek the Lord or direction. You just want to do it because you are doing something for the Lord. Then my pastor used to tell us, do something for the Lord. Do something for the Lord. At least do something for the Lord. Do something. What do something for the Lord? Before doing something for the Lord, hear the Lord. Learn from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Receive the teachings.
Amen.
Let your old mind be crucified. Calm down. No one is in a hurry. God is not in a hurry with you, beloved. God is not in a hurry. Don't think as soon as you accepted Christ, don't take the pressure that you want to start ministry. Oh, I accepted Christ. It has been 2 days. I did not win any souls. Calm down. Calm down. Don't be in a pressure. God is not in a hurry with you. God wants to change you first. Don't be in under pressure. How many souls? No. Just be led by the Holy Spirit. For 30 years of his life, Jesus did not do any ministry of winning souls. When the time came for him, then he started. So calm down. Don't be under pressure. Don't be under pressure. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Crucify the old mind first. Get rid of the old ways that you are trying to take from the dump yard and apply. Don't put the new wine into old wineskins, Jesus said. If you put the new wine into the old wineskins will burst. And the new wine will be spoiled. Don't put an old patch on the new cloth. That is the old mind. Taking the old ideologies. Many people are using their old ideologies. So what if you have done a PhD in finance and marketing and you are having a doctorate? Dump that knowledge. Come to the school of the Spirit and learn from the Holy Spirit. God's ways are different. Are we understanding that? Let's go to the example of Moses. Acts chapter number 7. The old mind. Thought patterns, ideologies, doctrines. Let's go to the example of Moses. Acts. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter number 7. Acts chapter number 7. Verse number 22 and 23. Acts chapter number 7, verse number 22. And Moses was learned. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. So he went to the school of Egypt. And what he learned? The wisdom of the Egyptians. That is what he was taught. And was mighty. He was mighty in words and deeds. How we look at Moses? We think Moses is the one who stammers, who cannot talk. No, the Bible says the learning that he received made him what? Mighty in words and in deeds. But when you take the same wisdom and you try to do something in the kingdom of God, you will stammer with the same might of the words that you learned in the school of the world. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? When we come to Christ, we have admitted ourselves under a new authority, under a fresh and new institution, heavenly institution. We have to start afresh. But let's see. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. So he said, in other words, he said, let's start the ministry. Let's start the call that God has upon my life. So he visited the brethren. And seeing one of them suffering wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile, saying, men, you are brethren, why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then at that saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. So he started off ministry thinking that he will win the hearts of people by showing them, you know, I have come to deliver you. So he saved the brethren by killing an Egyptian to show his love and compassion for those people. But that did not work. People did not accept him because Moses had to learn on the mountain of Sinai, on the mountain where he encountered God. He had to learn the ways of God. So I see many people trying to win the hearts of people and bring people on their side to start the ministry. Ministry will never happen like that. You have not went to God to win the heart of God, to bring the approval of God on your life, and then you are first going and winning the hearts of people. Ministry will not work like that. These are some of the gist that he learned in the school of the Egyptians, the wisdom of the Egyptians he was applying. He had strength, mighty in deeds, because the Egyptian school had training classes on whatever fights, whatever, you know, physical fights they would have, and he was mighty in deeds. So he said, I have strength to kill the Egyptian, to kill anyone, so I will go kill someone and become the hero. That was his old mindset, the ingredient of his thought pattern and his ideology and the doctrine that he learned in his young age. He started to apply to do ministry, but nothing worked out. Some people are discouraged. They are trying to do ministry and they say it's not working out because you have to crucify the old thought patterns and the ideologies you are carrying. Go to the top of the mountain, seek the Lord, and he will teach you his ways, and he will reveal the purpose that he has for you, the unique purpose that he has for your life. Every part in the body of Christ carries a unique purpose. But I am telling you, unfortunately, more than 80% of believers never know the purpose. All they know, we have to do something for God, brother. So I am going, I am giving food, I am giving clothes, I am doing this. I said, can I say something to you, pastor? That's not even God, what God has for you, all those things you are doing. God has something else for you. Go and seek God for that. Most of the believers are out of touch. And on that day, when the fire comes and tests your work, some work will be burned because it will be wood, hay, and straw. But some people's work will stay because it is gold, silver, and precious stones. What was that? They heard the Father and did his will. So that work will remain. Hallelujah. It will be tested with fire. And the Bible says, in the book of Revelation, chapter number 1, when John saw Jesus, Jesus' eyes were like torches of fire. fire in his eyes. That is the fire. That means, as per the perspective of Jesus, will of Jesus, if you did and lived your life, the fire, the works that you did, the deeds that you did, will stand the test of fire. And how can you perform the will of God? The first step is to crucify. Deny your old ways. Deny your thought patterns. Deny your learnings. I had to let go. I had to completely throw into the trash many of the things that I thought I will do in ministry to adapt to the calling of God upon my life, to adapt to the ways of God. I am telling you, there are many things that I have dumped to the trash yard, and I'm still doing it. Every day, that is called renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Even as you seek God, God will show you the uselessness of your ideologies, the uselessness of your old thought patterns, with which you thought you will do something. God says you cannot do anything. You have to become the branch abiding in me. I will flow through you, and then you will be able to bear fruit. So whatever you are carrying, with which you are saying you will bear fruit by yourself, throw it to the trash. Empty yourself. Abide in me. And then I will flow through you, and then you will bear fruits. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Thought patterns, ideologies, doctrines, iniquity. So that was Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter number 8. Still holding on. This is Moses thinking that he will go, and with his training he killed an Egyptian. He will start off ministry. He was rejected, and then he flee to Midian. So much so that after many years, he met the Lord in a burning bush. At the place where he forgot, at the place he was completely broken, and then God called him to start off. And then God provided him training. The three things that happened there, the three signs God gave, that was the training God was giving him. That you were trying to kill the physical Egyptian soldiers, that is not your enemy. The enemy is the snake, the spirits. Hallelujah. Are we understanding that? In the training school of the spirit, you will understand that the physical things that you are trying to build something upon it matters nothing, is useless. God will open your eyes to see the spirits. The first class of the training God gave Moses, I have spoken about it, was he said, throw your rod on the ground. It became a snake, and Moses was afraid. This Moses, who was not afraid to kill an Egyptian soldier and to fight with him, is afraid of a snake because he has not dealt with spirits. God will make you deal with snakes, deal with alligators, crocodiles, not physical ones, the spiritual ones. I remember, beloved, I remember. I started working from the age of 19, because I came out from the first year of my Navy college, and because God told me, go back, this is not your purpose. I was trying to do Navy. I was in the Merchant Navy training. So in the second year, I had to leave because things weren't working there. And then I heard the voice of God, and then from that time I started, when I came back home, I started to work. From the age of 19, I started to work, and then I worked in the corporate for 7 to 8 continuous years before I stepped into full-time ministry. So I would have all those odd shifts, and as soon as I come back from the shift, maybe 2 o'clock in the night, 1:30 in the night, I would go and pray. I will make sure, because there is not much time to spend with the Lord when we work in the corporate here in India. There is a lot of work that we have to do. So I would spend my time in prayer. And even as I progressed the Lord, I started to see visions. In my second year in the Lord, I started to, and the visions were, I don't know, thousands of snakes, alligators, crocodiles coming against me. Those time I did not understand what is it. And I saw so many snake, crocodiles, alligators coming against me and trying to bite me. So many of them in the vision when I used to pray. And after that, I saw its impact in my physical life about those visions that I saw, actually. So what I'm trying to tell you is, when you, God will make you deal with spirits. You will see the spiritual world. You will understand the things that are beyond the physical things that you see in the training school of the Lord. God will impart to you knowledge and wisdom. And even when you grow to a level, God can also then give you the gift and the understanding to understand mysteries. So that is how God trains us. The training school of the Lord is completely different. There is no push, there is no hurry with the Lord. He wants to give you the quality of the training, not for fast training. So it will take many years for you to be trained by the Lord, as Moses was trained. As Moses was trained on the mountain. And he was shown, then he was taught patience. Now, the mindset of Moses was like, as soon as I go to Pharaoh and tell, let my people go, this is what God has told, that let my people go. He thought Pharaoh will let us go. He did not know he has to go for another 11 times to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh will say no. He did not know he will face hardships and rejections and no's from Pharaoh and problems from people. Moses did not know. He thought, wanting to make Moses do ministry, God wanted to teach him who God is. So ministry is about, or serving God is about, knowing who God is more and more, how he functions, what are the crux of his operations on earth. You will understand it even as you walk with him, how he works, what are his ideas, what is his doctrine, what are his ways. Even as you crucify your old mind every day. I used to think like this, but this is how God works. The second day, something new. I used to think like that, but this is how God works. Your old ways, your old patterns will be exposed more and more even as you walk with God. The old thought patterns will be exposed even as you walk with God. Are we understanding, people of God? Okay, let's go to the next example. So we are on thought patterns, ideologies, doctrines. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Let's go there. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Verse number 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. Now this Naaman comes from a heathen religion, worshipping heathen gods of Syria, practicing rituals that is practiced in the temples of Syria. That is his background. But he is coming to God. Because he is not getting answers from his God. He is not getting healing from his God for his leprosy. So he is coming to Jehovah God. He is coming to the servant of Elisha, who is the servant of Jehovah God. Okay. So he comes to Elisha's house, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. What he is saying is something that is practiced in his own religion. Is something that he receives in his own religion. You see, in the temple of the heathen in Syria, when they go in the temple to worship their idols, the king of Syria, and now Naaman, the commander of the army of Syria, when they enter the temple, they enter with a pomp. They enter with a pomp. All the people shouting, they're receiving honor even as they worship even as they go to worship their gods. Hallelujah. Those who are from India, they know that. Do you see politicians, the prime minister of the nation, entering a temple in India to worship the deity? He comes with all the pomp, people admiring him, people shouting as if, are we understanding what I'm saying? So he receives all the honor even as he goes to worship his God, worship the idol in the temple. So that was his mindset, that when I come to receive healing here to the servant of God, I will have the same things as I have in my temple. What he thought, I thought to myself, verse number 11, he will surely come out to me, stand, call upon the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy, because that is what happened in their temples. And that is what he is expecting should happen to him when he comes to Jehovah God. That is the doctrine. Hallelujah. That is the doctrine. People who come from other religion, people who come from other doctrines, they don't crucify their old doctrine because they think the same things that used to happen there, it should happen in Christianity. It should happen in the church. That should happen here. You understanding that? So that is what he was... That is what he was expecting. Amen. So, but he was furious. He did not do that. Elisha did not do that. Elisha said, go in the river of Jordan and immerse yourself 7 times for you to be healed. He said, I'm not doing that. Because I expected this. I expected this. Okay. Are not the, okay, verse number 12. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went his way in a rage. So see how he is comparing? Why I should go to a river of Israel? I will go in some river of Abana and Damascus in my own country, in my own region, and there I will wash myself. Why I will go to Israel to get to do this? You see? The old doctrine, the old ideology. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more than when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Hallelujah. Okay, so... Would want God to work. So Naaman wanted God to work in his own ways, as it happens in his own religion and own country. Okay, but he was humbled. And then he went and washed himself in the Jordan. And when he saw his flesh was restored again, he came back to the man of God, verse 15, and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But he said, as the Lord lives, before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offering or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Yet in this thing, may the Lord pardon your servant. Now see this. When my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, this is how they practice religion in Syria. They worship who? Rimmon, a god called Rimmon. And he leans on my hand and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. So when the master wants to go and worship the god Rimmon, he wants Naaman the commander by his side to lean on him. So that is how they are worshiping. They don't go alone. They go with all the people. They worship before the people. It is like a show. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. Then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from a short distance. That is the reason why he was offering money and gifts, and Elisha rejected it. And when he rejected it, he was saying, okay, Elisha, you know what? I want to say something to you, ask something from you, forgiveness, that when I will not worship any other god, I will not offer to any other god, but only when I go with my master. When my master worship remains and leans on my shoulder, and I also have to bow down there. May the Lord forgive means let not the leprosy come back. Some people know that when they go and worship other gods, they will lose their healing, but still they want to go and worship other gods. Some people know that they went when they go back and do some rituals, and when they go back to the old life, they will do, but still they want to go, and then they want to practice their old ideology, because in that temple, the tradition was, listen to me, when you go in heathen religion, the heathen deity will want a physical sacrifice from you. Like when you come to India, they want a physical sacrifice. Some people sacrifice their hair, they become bald. Some people bring a lot of money and give to the... So it's a give and take relationship. You know, only if you bring something, then you get something. Only if you bring something, then you get something. Only if you... It's a give and take relationship with deities, with gods. And that is what he was trying to apply with Jehovah God. But Elisha said, it is the mercy of my God. He healed you in his grace. But he will not take anything from you. He healed you in his mercy. But Christianity is not we giving something to God. It's God who gave his only begotten son for us, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And then the giving in Christianity is not about give and take. I give this, I want a business. I give that, I want a business. We give because Jesus gave everything for us. And our giving cannot even match what God gave to us. We give out of gratitude. Do we understand that? But he was applying that giving principle here. We give out of gratitude. We give because knowing that, Lord, you gave everything for us. If I have, many times I have told that. And by the way, the Lord, I was praying and the Lord was talking to me about coming with the sermon of the principles of giving. The principles of giving. So I'm going to take that sermon any which ways in the coming days. And he was teaching me on that, giving revelations any which ways. But we give. We give because, like, for example, I received $10,000. And I am giving $1,000 from that to God. And I am giving $1,000 and telling God, you know what? All the $10,000 belongs to you, actually, God. Everything belongs to you. It came from you, Lord. And I am giving a part to you gratefully. Hallelujah. That is selfless giving unto the Lord. But in other traditions, like Hinduism, like in Syria, the religion that they practice. I want something, I have to bring something. I want a breakthrough, I have to give something. That is what is happening in churches throughout. So giving unto the Lord is manipulated with trading business. Do we understand that? Do we understand the thin line of difference here? It's not a trading business. It's not a trading business. But it's giving unto the Lord because he gave his only begotten son. He has already given. So first, the Lord is the giver. The Lord is the giver. Here, it's a revelation that Naaman, you are healed because our God is merciful to you. Our God loves you. It's not a trading business that you are supposed to do here, like you do in your temple. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. So the intention with which you give is matters. Hallelujah. And that is what people are taught in the church. You want a car? That is how preachers say. Like, you see how rich I am? If you give, you will also become rich. Do we understand that? One of the sisters here told a testimony that this famous preacher said, if you give $1,000, then I promise you, you are going to Israel. Yeah, I think Sister Pushpa told that. So she gave $1,000 or whatever she gave into that ministry. But she said, I never went to Israel. First of all, the teaching you received was itself manipulated. Why you are giving to the Lord for going to Israel, for having a trip to Israel? That was itself manipulated. That was itself manipulative. Do we understand that? Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding? The theology, the idea, the doctrine of the thought pattern that he practiced in his temple. I know, because we come from a Hindu background, whichever place we have to go, it's a give and take relationship. And once you give something, you take something, that ends there. There is no hope, there is no salvation, there is no nothing. Hallelujah. So that is what he was trying to apply in this kingdom. Okay. Those are the thought patterns, ideologies, doctrines, iniquity. I come from a Hindu background. The doctrines of those things, the doctrine of giving in that religion, I cannot take and apply in this kingdom. No, this kingdom is different. I have to crucify my thought patterns, my ideologies, my doctrines. In some places I went, we prayed for people, people got healed, and some people came and started to bow down at my feet and give money at my feet. I said, stop, stop, stop. This you do in your Hinduism. It does not happen with God. You don't have to honor me like that, bowing down at my feet. Some people come and touch my feet. No, 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 no. Don't let them touch your feet. Are we understanding that? Hallelujah. You will see that those things in the church today. When the preacher is preaching, people are coming and throwing money. That does not happen. That should not happen in a church. That happens in a pub. That happens in a dancing bar, where the dancers dance and they throw money on the dancers. Preachers are preaching and they are coming and throwing money. That is a disrespect. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. People of God, you there? Are you listening to me? Old thought patterns. Amen. Can we have an amen? Hallelujah. Old thought patterns. Old doctrines. Old ideologies. No, this kingdom is different. Different. Every area of doctrine in this kingdom is different from other religion. We cannot do that. Hallelujah. We cannot do that. That's why when I have told people here, when we are announcing for giving, we are reading from the scripture, because we are not asking because I am not asking because I want money. It's a principle that you have. It's a principle of sowing into God's kingdom. And many people stay in poverty because they have not understood the principle of giving. They have not understood the principle of giving. Some people are saying, we are giving from 2 years, but nothing is happening. We are giving from 3 years, from nothing is happening. You have to go through a series of study to understand where is the problem. Is it in your attitude? Is it in your heart? Is it following an old thought pattern or intentions or motives? We will come to all those stuff. You understanding that? So he was giving from a wrong perspective to buy forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Because in his temple of Rimmon, they do those stuff. In the temple of Rimmon, they do those stuff. Give and take relationships with deity. Hallelujah. But I don't know how grateful, but I am grateful to my God, because he gave his only begotten son. Even when we were yet sinners, he died for us. Hallelujah. He gave everything for us. And there is laid riches in heaven. Even if I give and don't receive anything, I know there is so much in heaven that is laid up for everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Do we understand that? I am trying to teach you how the old thought patterns, doctrines from other religion impact Christianity. Many things we see in the church, it's not of God. It's not of God. It's not of God. In India, there is a mega church. The pastor comes and says, oh, these the people whose names start with PRSTUTVV, whatever, they are going to get a car in the name of, they are going to get this, they are going to get a house, they are going to get this. That is not preaching. That is not prophesying. something that happens in the other religions, he's taking it and applying it in Christianity. We have to see that. All these practices which are not of God are a result of the old thought patterns that people are abiding to. They have not crucified the old doctrine, the old religion they used to follow, the old ideologies that they used to follow. Okay? Hallelujah. So, so I would say in Simon the Sorcerer's case, we saw old thought patterns and iniquity. And in Naaman's case, we saw the old ideologies and doctrines. Okay? So, all these together form a stronghold. The old thought patterns, ideologies, doctrine, iniquity, and the first thing what we saw, attachments and liking to the old things, all this together form a stronghold. And the stronghold exists in the mind, which is the old mind, which is also called the carnal mind. And then people who live with that kind of a stronghold can never please God. Because the Bible says the carnal mind, which is the old mind, can never ever please God and walk in God's ways. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Hallelujah. Verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. These are the strongholds. I have many times spoken about strongholds. So strongholds, for example, we see, remember the walls of Jericho? The walls of Jericho, no one could break it, no one could surpass it to get into the city or to do any damage in the city. Technically, historically, they say that they build the walls to protect the city from the great floods, so no floods could destroy the city. It was a complete secure system that was in Jericho. So that is how the devil and demons function through the old mind. They place a completely secure system in the mind that even when a demon is not there inside a person, but the person will continue to walk in the ways of the devil, in the ways of iniquity. Because the old mind is a complete secure system, like a stronghold placed in the mind of a person. Are we understanding? Listen to me. Okay? The thought patterns, ideologies, doctrines, iniquity, these things are the ingredients of the stronghold. The attachments and likings are the ingredients of the stronghold. The attachment, now there are two things to the wall that the wall cannot be broken, the stronghold wall I am talking about. One is the height of the wall. And the second is the strength of the wall, the fatness of the wall. The wall is so fat, the wall is so wide that a 2 or 3 bedroom house kitchen can be embedded into the wall, because the Bible says that Rahab the harlot had her house inside the wall of Jericho. So the wall was so fat. So there are two things to the wall, the height of the wall and the strength of the wall, the width of the wall. Okay? The height of the wall signify these things, the thought patterns, ideologies, doctrine, iniquity, that make a heighted wall in your mind that the word of God cannot penetrate to bring the change. You understand that? It's so high because you are carrying the thought patterns, the ideologies, the doctrines. and the iniquity of the old life. So even as you, even you listen to the word of God 5 years, 10 years, no effect on your life, because you have not crucified the height of the wall. The second is the attachments and the liking to the old things. That is the strength of the wall. The attachments and the likings that I explained last sermon to the old things, that is the strength of the wall. The strength of the wall. So someone could even let go of the thought patterns, ideologies, doctrines. Okay, you know what, I adapt to the ways of the Lord. But if you don't get rid of the attachments that you have to the old things that I explained last sermon, then you are not breaking the walls. That means some words are going, crossing over the wall, but for the word of God completely to go inside of you and bring a change in you, it is not happening, because the walls have to be broken. For the walls to be broken, you have to crucify the attachments and likings to the old things, and then you have to crucify the thought patterns, ideologies, doctrines, and iniquity. When you crucify all these things and let go of all these things, take it out of your life and say, Lord, I am a babe. I am a baby. I want to learn from you. That is what Jesus said. These things are hidden from the wise and the prudent. And God has revealed these things to babes in the book of Matthew. Are we understanding that? And then the word goes inside of you and does the work when you break the wall. So the old mind is like the wall. That is the second area of death to self. Hallelujah. So, people of God, are you there? Do we understand now the second area, old mind? You got to crucify the old man. I already took that old man. Then you have to crucify the old mind. And the next thing that comes is selfish ways. Selfish ways. Okay, listen to me very carefully. We are talking about death to self, so that we can die to our own self, carry our cross, and follow Jesus, walk as Jesus walked. The next is selfish ways. Listen to me. What are selfish ways? Selfish ways are facilitated by the old man and the old mind, where based on both of these, you make a God for your own self and teachers and doctrines for your own self. Let me come again. Selfish ways are facilitated by the old man and the old mind, where based on both of these things, you make a God for your own self, or teachers and doctrines for your own self. That is where teaching demons are facilitated to teach a person. Selfish ways are what? Selfish ways are the ways facilitated by the old man and the old mind. Now listen to me, people of God. Let's consider the people of Israel. The people of Israel carried the old man, their old religion, you know, that they did in Egypt, idol worship, all those stuff. They carried the old mind also, attachments and likings. So they are the perfect example of the old man, old mind. They also carried the theologies, their whatever doctrines. That's why they wanted to go back to Egypt. So they were having the old man and the old mind. Since they were carrying the old man and the old mind and did not crucify it, did not let it go, they always said, and I saw in the scripture, they said 2 times, let us make a God for our own self, or let us make a leader for our own self. That is selfish ways. So a person that does not crucify the old man and old mind walks in selfish ways. Okay, are we understanding that? Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter number 32. Verse number 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, The people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Let us make God for our own self. Who can what do what? Go where we want to go." Many people nowadays on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube come and say, "Oh, this man is saying exactly what I desired to hear, what I wanted to hear." They are making up teachers for themselves to satisfy their itching ears. What they want to do, they make a God for their own self for that. Remember the sermon I took on the God of the debased mind, which is not our God? A God that will fulfill their own desire. That is, they make a God for themselves. Another verse, that is selfish ways. Are we understanding? That is selfish ways. Numbers chapter number 14. Numbers chapter number 14. Verse number 3 and 4. "Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." A leader who will do what we ask him to do. I have seen pastors being pressurized by the congregation because they want the pastor to do what they want him to do. I was with a certain pastor and I was helping him. I was helping him build the church. I was helping him. And whenever I went to that place, people would gather. But his ideology or his thinking was, "I will make this Rahul do what I want the year to do." He was blocking the Holy Spirit to work from that place. That's why I don't go to other places and other platforms now. I only minister on this platform that God has given me, and that was as per the instruction from the Holy Spirit. So making the leader do what they want from the leader. Making the leader preach what they want from the pastor. That is what Aaron became. He made them he told them, "Bring the earrings, everything." He made a golden calf out of it. Don't be like Aaron. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. So that is what that selfish ways are. They want to select a leader. They want to select a teacher, a pastor, as per their own itching ears, as per who can facilitate their own desires, who can say good things, "You will get married, you will happen this. So they like that kind of people. They like that kind of prophets. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Verse number 3 and 4. Verse number 3 and 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 3 and 4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Yes, the time is coming where they will not endure sound doctrine, pure teaching from the word of the Lord. But what they will do, they will, according to their own desires, they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. That is selfish ways. That you want to make God speak what you want him to speak. God never functions like that. Do we understand that? God never functions like that. Many people commit sinful things, commit things that are led by the devil, and then they say, "You know what, brother, I did this, I did that," and then the Holy Spirit told me. I said, wait, I cannot take that. The Holy Spirit did not tell you. Don't use the name of the Holy Spirit to justify your acts that you are pleasing God. No. The Holy Spirit will not ask you to tell a lie. The Holy Spirit will not ask you to do sins. Why? How you are saying the Holy Spirit told you to do those things? You understand that? They have made a God for themselves, a spirit for themselves. They call him the Holy Spirit, but he is not the Holy Spirit. He is not the Holy Spirit. They call him the Holy Spirit, but he is not the Holy Spirit. It's a demon that is facilitating selfish ways. Hallelujah. Amen. People are silent here. Okay, let me
Amen. Stop.
Are we understanding, people? Hallelujah.
Yes, we are.
Amen. We are.
Amen. Selfish ways is facilitated. If you don't crucify the old man and the old mind, you will walk in selfish ways. You will walk in manipulative doctrines. You will heap up for yourself teachers that are wolves, that are not shepherds, that are not true shepherds who hear Jesus Christ and feed the sheep. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? If the center and the motive of you serving God or worshiping God is self and I, you are not following Jesus. If the center and the motive of you and me, for every one of us I'm talking about, is self, is I, my anointing, my power, my revelations, stay under me. You cannot do this without asking me. You have to do this. You have to do this for me. You have to do that for me. You have to make me rich. You have to. When I is the center, you, even though you are preaching and you have a big ministry, unfortunately, I want to tell you, you are not following Jesus. You are on your way to destruction. And on that day when he will appear and you will say, Lord, I casted demons in your name. Lord, I healed people in your name. Lord, I prophesied in your name. Jesus will tell you, I never knew you. Depart from you. Depart from me, you lawless ones, because you practice lawlessness. When the center and the motive becomes I and mine, that is the selfish ways. That is the selfish ways. You are in the group and the clan of Lucifer, even though you use the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter number 17. I want to complete this sermon tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 17. Jeremiah chapter number 17, verse number 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. The Lord tests what? The heart, the motives, the mind. What is the motive behind you serving God? What is the motive behind? Have you ever gone and sat and said, "What, Lord, I want to do ministry. What is the motive behind it? Lord, let me see, let me evaluate. What is my intention? Is the motive I want to become big. I want to be known. I want to be this." You are not following Jesus Christ. There is the evidence of you following selfish ways. There is the evidence of you following selfish ways. God will train you in that when you walk with Jesus to crucify the I and self. Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter number 16, verse number 1 to 3. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be established. Hallelujah. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. What is in your inner spirit? What are you thinking? What is the motive? Are you praying because people can hear you and appreciate you? You are a good prayer warrior. Or are you praying to please the Father in the secret? Every motive will be tested. What is the motive? Okay, selfish ways. Those are selfish ways. First Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse 4 to 14. Let's not go there. Let's go to First Corinthians. First Corinthians, chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, verse number 13. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Hallelujah. The motive behind what we do. What is the motive? I am serving the Lord. I want to do ministry. What is my motive? Do I want to be known? Do I want to be famous? What is my motive? If it is that, I am working in the selfish ways. My motive is, Lord, you know what? Let me decrease and let you increase. I will just obey your voice. And then what I will become, I just surrender into your hands, Lord. Whatever you want to make me, I will become. Hallelujah. What is the motive behind everything we do for the Lord? The Lord will test our motives. Do we understand that? The Lord will test the motive of our heart. As we saw that people will make for themselves God. So they are taking the name of Jesus, but their praise is not going to Jesus. It's going to a deity because they have made a God for themselves. You see that? Because they have not crucified the old man and the old mind. But this is a call from Jesus Christ, and he is calling you to walk with him, to walk like him. You ought to walk, we ought to walk as Jesus walked on earth. How many of you are ready to accept that call here? That is the primary purpose, walking as Jesus walked on earth. And if we want to do that, let us deny ourselves, death to self, carry the cross daily, and follow Jesus Christ. This is a call for us, including myself, every day to walk like Jesus walked, to become more like him. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for this time. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Robro sakrabala to robo se pretianda. Leban to robon se krebetianda rabala. One day we all shall appear before you, Lord, and give an account of our life to you, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, on that day, may we, Lord, be appreciated, Lord, and approved by you. Oh, in the name of Jesus. And for that, Lord, every day, Lord, through this ministry, Lord, you are preparing us, Father. Oh, through the teaching of the word, of the sound doctrine, Lord. Oh, you are preparing us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. Lord, you have made us, Lord. Lord, you have made me like the trumpet blower, Lord. I give the call, Lord. Lord, oh, Father, some people listen, some people don't give your Father. But those who are listening to you, I pray that they will be presented perfect before Christ, Father. Lord, they will be presented perfect before Christ in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that they will walk in your ways, especially, Lord, even as in a way the old man and the old mind and the selfish ways are exposed. Father, thank you, Lord, even as your people are listening to it and receiving the word, deliverance is happening in their life. Oh, Lord, people think deliverance is just getting delivered from physical ailment or sickness or demons. Deliverance, real deliverance happens when you get delivered from the old man, from the old mind. The whole programming system is getting out of you. You will never be the same in Jesus' name. The whole stronghold is getting out of you. The walls are being pulled down. Strongholds are being broken. When you crucify the old man, the old mind, the selfish ways, when you put yourself to death, the greatest deliverance is happening in your life, beloved. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I want to tell you, I have tasted and I have seen my old life, and now I am learning God's ways. I am telling you, God's ways, his doctrine, his patterns are unmatchable. It is wonderful. If you want to walk with perfect peace, seek to know his ways. Hallelujah. 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 It cannot be expressed in words. His wisdom brings peace. His words bring joy. His words bring complete security that nothing can give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord Father, for this time. We give you the praise, honor, and glory, and we cover all the people, Lord, even those who are not able to make it, Father. Lord, I pray that you convict their hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Give you the praise, give you the honor, give you the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we make this prayer. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you.